My family had checked into the Stanley Hotel in Estes Park, Colorado, reported to be one of the most haunted places in America. Tales of ghostly encounters have been told about the Stanley for decades, including it being the inspiration for Stephen King's The Shining. We toured the grounds of the hotel, from the concert hall to the underground tunnels, and we were told plenty of stories of the spirits that supposedly roam the hallways. We'd yet to experience anything, though, which we could point to definitively as signs of a supernatural presence at the hotel. But our stay was only getting started. What happened that night, our first night at the Stanley, I've thought about it a lot since then. I know what I think happened that night. I know what the others who were there think. But at the end of the day, it's hard to say with any real certainty. I know that what happened will probably stay with me for a really long time. So I'll do my best to tell you that story. I'll tell you exactly as I recall it. And it'll be up to you to decide whether or not you believe what happened was real or not. So let's go back to the Stanley Hotel. Back in room 208, we took out the case containing our equipment. We had brought with us a motion sensing camera, an EMF reader, which measures the electromagnetic field around us, some motion sensors to place around the room, a REM pod, which reacts to changes in the environment like temperature and or the electromagnetic field, and a spirit box, which is used to perform the Estes method, a technique which was actually invented at the Stanley Hotel back in 2016. It involves one person wearing a blindfold and noise-canceling headphones, which are rapidly scanning through radio frequencies. It's said that as others in the room ask questions, spirits can use these frequencies to pluck out words to answer the questions. People claim that it works because if the person wearing the headphones can't hear the questions, any accurate answer that you receive must be coming from someone else. So we tried for quite a while to set up the motion camera, but for some unknown reason, it refused to connect. So we decided to give up on that tool and bring the EMF reader around the rest of the hotel to see if we could get any sort of response. We decided to start from the top floor and then work our way back down. So we made our way up to the fourth floor. This floor was originally used just as storage before it was converted into rooms for the staff and their children to stay in. While not as infamous as some of the other areas of the Stanley, there are still plenty of reports of unusual activity here. Guests have reported hearing children running up and down the hallways and playing in the middle of the night, doors opening and closing on their own, and items disappearing and reappearing later in a different place. It was quiet as we made our way through the hallways of the top floor. The daytime visitors had all gone home, the tours were over, and most guests seemed to have retired to their rooms for the night. We came across a set of steep, darkened stairs roped off to keep anyone from entering. A door at the top was padlocked, and I assumed this was a storage area, off limits to the public. Then we approached the most active room on the floor, room 428. This is a room where visitors have reported waking up to someone dressed as a cowboy watching over them or sitting at the side of their bed. Some believe it to be James Nugent, a local guide who lived in the area in the late 1800s, and was shot to death by a rival. Why he would haunt this room at the Stanley Hotel is unknown, and our EMF reader didn't register anything unusual as we stood outside the door. The third floor didn't really reveal anything too interesting either, other than passing by another group of people who were clearly doing the same thing that we were. We just gave each other a knowing nod as we passed in the hall. So we returned back to the second floor, anxious to get our first sign of anything unusual. We crossed over from the east wing where our room was over to the west, where we then came across the most famous room in the entire hotel, room 217, also known as the Stephen King Suite. This is the room where Elizabeth Wilson unexpectedly triggered a large gas explosion, destroying a large section of the hotel and seriously injuring herself. It's also the same room that many years later would host the famous author and whose nightmares would inspire his next great horror novel. My wife and I stayed back a bit while Sam approached the door with the EMF reader. We assumed that the room was occupied and didn't want to disturb whoever was in there. As she got to the door, she waved the reader back and forth, getting no sort of response. But as she was about to turn back towards us, the green light on the reader turned red, and it chirped loudly as the numbers on the display spiked. It lasted only a few seconds, and then it was gone. Sam quickly tiptoed her way back towards us, eager to avoid the guests in the room who must have heard the sound, or whatever might have set off the reader. Our last stop before heading back to the room was a place that many people believe to be the source of the paranormal activity in the hotel, the main staircase, a place that many simply refer to as the Vortex. There are plenty of theories about why this might be the center of activity at the Stanley, from a high concentration of limestone and quartz underneath the stairs that some people say helps to capture supernatural energy, to the large mirrors facing each other on the landing, which creates a portal for spirits to move back and forth between realms. Now, that all sounds a little bit like the plot of a Ghostbusters movie to me, but there have been plenty of spirits captured in photographs at this location, so something is clearly going on here. The intricate architecture and fairly creepy portraits that fill the space definitely set the mood. We took photos and videos from all angles, hoping to capture something for ourselves. And Sam scanned the area with the EMF reader, getting some small hits around a painting of Flora Stanley, but again, nothing definitive, nothing conclusive, nothing that we could point to and say we experienced a paranormal event. Feeling somewhat dejected, we decided to head back to our room to get ready for bed. We had a full day of exploring the grounds planned for tomorrow. Unfortunately, my hopes to get a good night's rest would not be in the cards. Back in our room, we closed the shades and changed into our pajamas. We all fell asleep pretty quickly, tired from a very full day. We had planned on setting up the motion-sensing camera before bed, but again, it wasn't working properly, so we have no video footage from that night. Which is really unfortunate, because I would have loved to see if we could have captured something from what happened next. At about 4 a.m., something woke me up. It took me a few seconds to come out of my sleep and clear my head and realize what was happening. It felt to me like something was touching my foot, or rather, grabbing it, like a hand had grabbed me by the ankle. The room was pitch black, and everything was quiet, except for the snoring of my wife next to me, so I knew she was asleep. I tried to think of what else it could be. Maybe it was her foot brushing up against me. Maybe it was the sheets bunching up in some funny way. I tried to make sense of it and think of anything else that it could be besides someone or something reaching out and grabbing me from the end of the bed. While I was trying to figure that out, though, I felt something even more terrifying. I was laying on my right side, and I felt something touch my left shoulder, or maybe even grab it. It felt as if someone was lying behind me in bed, and they were pulling themselves up over the side of me. I've been scared plenty of times before in my life, but nothing at all like the fear I felt then. I didn't know what to do. I felt frozen. I couldn't move. I was too scared to open my eyes or to speak. I knew it wasn't my wife, but there was something very real in bed with me. And then, whatever it was that was with me, whispered to me. I couldn't make out any words, but it was something like a quiet whisper or a long exhale right in my ear. My wife told me later that the scream that I let out at that moment was one of the most horrifying sounds that she's ever heard. I jumped up, screaming, "Go away," as my heart raced nearly out of my chest. Looking around, all I saw were Christina and Sam staring at me with a mix of confusion and horror. Was I dreaming? If so, it felt incredibly real. I've had nightmares before, and I knew when I woke up that it was just a dream. With this, I would absolutely swear that I was awake when this happened. But if there had been anything else in the room with us, it was gone now. It took a while for me to calm down, understandably, after I explained to them what had happened. But eventually I did lay back down and try, at least, to go back to sleep. It was very tough for any of us to get rest after that, though. That night, I would have told you with 100% certainty that I was awake when this happened, that it was absolutely real. And weeks later, I don't know, it seems less clear. I think part of me since then has tried to convince myself that it must have been a dream. You know, it couldn't possibly have been real, right? These things don't actually happen. But I don't know, I go back and forth on it. My wife believes it really happened. She says that the look on my face that night was enough to have her convinced. And deep down, I think that no matter how much I try to deny it, I think I'm probably convinced too. The next day was uneventful in comparison. We checked out more of the property, discovering the pet cemetery, as well as exploring the hedge maze. And we learned more about the history of F.O. Stanley and the hotel. Our second night in the room was peaceful. No waking up in the middle of the night. No ghostly appearances. If anything had truly visited us the night before, it thankfully decided to leave us alone this time. If I'm being honest, I really do love exploring these kinds of places. The old architecture and tragic stories from years ago, it's exciting. But I truly never expected to have an experience like this, one that I couldn't fully explain and that would leave me shaken and convinced that I'd had my own paranormal contact. But I really can't deny what I felt and heard that night in room 208. thank you for listening to this special month of Halloween episodes. I hope you've all enjoyed listening as much as I did making them. If you did, please share with your friends and let me know if you've had any paranormal experiences yourself, or if you have any suggestions for a haunted location that you think I should visit next year. I'd really like to make this an ongoing tradition. So until next time, have a great week and happy Halloween.